Welcome to the EdgeWorker teleconference on January 23rd. And our topic today is what's emerging for you in the coming year. And I wanted to start with just a couple of quotes. And I think they're related to the topic. I hope they'll spark some conversation and some thoughts. The first one is by Mark Gorman. And after I read these two quotes, I'll ask that we share a moment of silence as we honor the sacred space that connects us and brings us together. Mark Gorman writes, "Not all dreamers are winners, but all winners are dreamers. Your dream is the key to your future. The Bible says that without a vision, in parentheses, dream, a people perish. You need a dream if you're going to succeed in anything you do." And then Ayn Rand said, "Throughout the centuries, there were men, of course, everybody used to write just men, but there were people who took first steps down new roads armed with nothing but their own vision. Their goals differed, but they all had this in common, that the step was first, the road new, the vision unborrowed. And the response they received? Hatred. The first creators, the thinkers, the artists, the scientists, the inventors, stood alone against the men, the people of their time. Every great new thought was opposed. Every great new invention was denounced. The first motor was considered foolish. The airplane was considered impossible. The power loom was considered vicious. Anesthesia was considered sinful. But the men of people of unborrowed vision went ahead. They fought, they suffered, and they paid, but they won." Please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. So this topic, for me, from an EdgeWalker perspective, ties into the EdgeWalker skill of knowing the future. And I thought I would just talk about that a little bit in case people aren't familiar with the way I approach this thought of knowing the future. And I think that there's three categories or ways that human beings can approach the future. And first of all, there has to be an interest in the future, and there has to be something that you want. And then these quotes talk about the dream, that there's something you're dreaming of or you have a vision of, the future matters. You want to know how to move towards a desirable future, and you want to know what's ahead that you need to pay attention to. And so typically, the way people in our modern day age look at the future is what I call the traditional or linear method of knowing the future. And that is to take the data from the past and project it into a straight line and assume that the future is just going to be more of whatever the trends were in the past. So that can be forecasting human resources or forecasting sales. All of the whole field of forecasting is pretty much based on this idea of linear, using data and mathematics to get a sense of what the future would be. And that works in a lot of circumstances. It served us well. But there's another way, and you find that when you read the research about a lot of leaders, that they'll admit in private that they use the second way. And the second way is their intuition. Many of them, particularly men, will probably use the word gut, that they have a trusting of their gut. A woman named Lynn Robinson has written a book called Trust Your Gut that's about business leaders who use intuition. So many people will talk about it. They get a gut feeling about this. And they just have a sense of it. They have an intuitive knowing that could be actually a whole bunch of rational, pulling together right brain and left brain information, and have the trends just kind of pop out at you without having to think. You know, some people have fashion sense or know what the next big thing in music or movies or even in finance. They may have a sense of that. The third way of knowing the future is to know that we're creators, that we interact with the universe with our minds, and that our thoughts are powerful, our words are powerful, and that what we put energy into grows. So this is more like the secret and the law of attraction, that knowing that we can create or co-create with the universe the future that we want for ourselves and for humanity. So I just want to throw all those thoughts out, the quotes and some of these ideas from Edgewalkers, and ask the question, and Lewis, you may have a refinement of my memory of the question, but a question of, since this is the first of the year, what do you see coming for you and what's emerging for you in this coming year? And so I ask us to think about that linearly, intuitively, and co-creatively. Lewis, would you like to start us off or add anything to how we might discuss this?
If you can stand it, I would love to read a poem from John O'Donohue that says exactly all that you've just said, so all it does is support it. Can you stand that, and then we'll go?
Oh, could we stand John O'Donohue? You
yeah.
can just read you can read him for the whole hour, and I bet we'd all be happy.
Well, this one speaks exactly on this issue, and I, and of course all of us, are living it. But it's called From a New Beginning, and says, in out-of-the-way places of our heart, where our thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until we were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched our desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside, noticing how we willed ourselves on still unable to leave what we had outgrown. It watched us play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, and heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, and wondered, would you always have to live like this? Then the delight when our courage kindled and out we stepped into new ground, our eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before us. Though our destination is not clear, we can trust the promise of this opening and unfurl ourselves into the grace of beginning that is one with our life's desire. Awaken our spirit to adventure, holding nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk, and soon we will be home in a new rhythm, for our soul senses the world that awaits us. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, and what I just love about it is all that you said, and all the work you and all of us do all the time, or we wouldn't be here, and that is this endless edge on which we walk.
Yeah.
That simultaneously holds on to the strong and the centered and the grounded part of us that has proven healthy and well, and yet also hangs on to the part that hasn't been as we'd wish, but at least we're used to it and we don't dare jump and we don't know what the future is. And yet we can just feel that there is more out there that calls us. And I don't remember the words of the poem, but the other way I constantly feel that is Rumi's poem, something about a field out there with no rightness or no wrongness where neither of us has ever been. Will you meet me there?
Yeah.
So So what I love about this process, even with the human anxiety of, oh my God, I'm sad about losing what was and I don't know what's going to be, I just have to live on this edge and open to it and notice the doors that open on their own or the little cracks with new light that gives me courage to be willing to not know but still to take a step forward. And so I know we all know that's exactly where we are.
Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you.
And I know we each have detailed examples of how we're doing that in our lives, but I left those out just to stay with the generic so we could all feel it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, Mel Toomey, who really a mentor, and one of my favorite questions that Mel asks, and he asks this of managers a lot, is what can you sense but not yet see?
Good.
And I think that's part of what we're exploring here, too, for our own lives. But it would also be interesting to explore, as this year is unfolding, what do we sense but not yet see about the world? Because our lives are so entwined with the world. We care about it. We want to contribute to it in some way. We want to co-create the future. So what do we sense but not yet see about the world? And a lot of times I think synchronicities give us clues about that too, when things line up in some miraculous, amazing, shocking, delightful way. And I think that helps. Anyone else want to add to the generic part of the conversation before we jump into some specifics about what's going on for us?
Louis, I think you were speaking earlier and said, I have to live on this edge. I love that. absolutely.
I know, I have to. I call it my growing edge. because I also learned long ago, as we all have, we've all done some things well, and the leading edge, just when I say the words, the leading edge, and recognize the ways I, or each of you, has been on a leading edge, I feel within myself at least a hinge of, pride and righteousness and, and aren't I cool to have done that part so well? And even though it's all great work, so there's no shame about that, it's just a human condition. However, when I talk about my own growing edge, I feel within myself go open to my authenticity of what I don't yet know. And it makes room for those who know us. And Judy knows me, so Judy can smile with me and at me with the same love and notice when I'm coming from pure authenticity and new growth, and how tender that is versus when I slip into performance and lecturing and stuff. And if she loves me enough, she'll say, Louis, get back in. and that's true of all of us.
Louis, it's funny because when you said, I misunderstood what you said, and I thought you said glowing with an L.
Well, that's also true on
that
too.
I just love that because it's like it's about the light, and
that's
all
great.
Of us are wanting to move towards the light more.
Exactly. Well, the growing edge is exactly that. You're right.
So my ears heard beautifully.
Thank you. You've just enhanced it. We've evolved.
Yeah, we're all allowed to glow.
Right.
Sweet. And if you haven't spoken yet and you want to add to the conversation, just say your name first so we know who's speaking. And I know that was Eric a minute ago. Who'd like to jump in next? Well, it may be that you just want to listen for a little while. So I'll go ahead and share what seems to be emerging for me in this coming year. And I left the University of Arkansas back in June, and it's been a busy 6 months or so of getting adapted to not working at the university and creating this new life where I get to focus more on edge walkers. That's one of the primary points of focus for me. There's two. The other I've defined as health and living a more holistic life. And so for edge walkers, I can't necessarily see what's emerging, but I think what my sense is that through kind of small steps, it's like a pebble in a pond, I think we're having ripples that reach out gradually to more and more people, and that there's this just beautiful, gentle growing of the Edgewalker community. And it's growing both in the, like Fayetteville, we have a strong community here. We do Edgewalker cafes once a month, and I'm putting together an Edgewalker cafe guide that I'm going to give to anybody that has some facilitation background and would like to explore running Edgewalker cafes, because there's a couple of other places. They've been run in Houston and they've been run in Dubai. And so the three of us who've run cafes are kind of sharing ideas and going to put together a resource guide that we'll give to people in the community that might want to do something with that. So, you know, there might be a way that it spreads gently through that Edgewalker cafe. And I'm recording the Edgewalker book. I'm doing an audio book. So I think audio books reach people more than print books these days. So it may be that that helps to get some of the ideas out. But the real key is how I live on my own edge, my glowing edge, and some of the synchronicities that seem to be happening lately for me are around sustainability and around community getting together to enhance collective sustainability. Hi, someone just joined us.
Hi. Hello. I'm sorry to be late, Judy. This is Steve Hinkle.
Hey, Steve. Welcome. Welcome.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Please go ahead.
I was just sharing some things about what I'm sensing emerging for me in the coming year. And, you know, of course, there will be more focus on Edgewalker work. But what I had defined as health for me when I retired, you know, holistic life and doing more meditation and yoga and eating healthier and all that kind of stuff. What seems to be a bigger picture is more of a sustainable lifestyle that's much more in tune and in harmony with nature. And one example of that is my husband and I are taking a beekeeping class. And I've been so scared about what's happening to the bees and the frogs on this planet. And so, you know, it felt like some little thing that we could do to have bees and help them survive. And if more and more gardeners or people with any kind of yard space or land space just had a beehive, we might be able to overcome some of the things that have happened from monoculture, from the pesticide spraying and those kinds of things. So it feels so good to do some little thing knowing that we're part of a movement of lots of people doing some little thing that can make a huge difference. So that's a pattern I see of things that people are doing that I want to be a part of. And then synchronistically, I got a call yesterday from a friend who's starting a university/executive education kind of program that's also a fund, an investment fund that buys up farmland and turns it over into organic land, and at the same time, each of those farms becomes an educational center for young people and a retreat center with educational programs for business leaders who are feeling drawn to do things more holistically. And they're wondering if I might want to be involved in faculty in some way on that. And, you know, I have not thought about being faculty on anything, having left the university, but something like that, you know, I'm just going, wow, that's exciting, and that fits with my values. You know, I don't know whether I'll follow up or whether there's a fit for me, but, you know, if there's a pattern emerging around the kinds of things that are calling me, that feel like my next contribution in life, and that stuff that just brings me joy. So that's what's up for me. So Steve, we're talking about what is it that's emerging for you in the coming year, and we, you know, I shared the three perspectives of Edgewalkers about knowing the future is the linear, mathematical, analytical way of knowing the future. More of the same, you know, whatever was in the past, you have more of that in the future. The intuitive way and the co-creation way of working with universal energy to manifest something that's good for you and good for all.
Thank you for that.
Welcome. Who'd like to go next?
I'm happy to go, Judith Lewis. Of course, leave enough space always for others who aren't as quick. So please, if there's anyone else who wants to go, go. And if it's silence, I will certainly fill it.
Beautifully said.
Bless you.
Yeah. It's my constant learning on my growing and glowing edge, which is just to be quiet longer and wait.
Mine is just to learn to be quiet, period.
Right. Well, you must be male like me. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
But I love sharing, and it's and the short version being that I, after a near death experience and being in the light myself, I was called as a straight white male to do cultural diversity training so I could bridge the gap better than I learned how to here in this lifetime. Bridge the gap between my soul and the soul of anybody else, no matter what their diversity. Well, I couldn't talk like that. They'd wonder what I was smoking, so I had to speak MBA language and organizational development language and did cross-cultural diversity training videos and domestic diversity training, and it just kept opening to more and more willingness to talk about light and energy. And the marketplace was relatively tolerant of that. But then when I went way too far, the studio members, when I wanted to make videos on spirit at work, and all the diversity and cultural diversity and HR people said, Lewis, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think we can handle that yet. So
they were beautiful videos, too. They were incredible.
So I pulled back on that. And yet now, instead of running a company and making videos and seminars and workshops with lots of employees, I'm on my own and spent a year learning coaching and leadership training. And the best learning of coaching, which I needed to learn, just like you, the other male, and I said we need to learn when not to speak, is coaching taught me that instead of me having the expertise that the client has paid for, which is legitimate for all of us, the best news about coaching is that I don't have a clue what the answer is. The answer is within the other. And so I've learned how to truly facilitate and just find the answer within the other. which, however, doesn't mean that our insights and the light that we bring doesn't bring consciousness and therefore the sensitivity that helps facilitate the other to discover their own. And so currently, what I now am finally going to get out and do this year is coaching, executive coaching, personal training, and very directly talking about energy and light and love. I can't start there, I know, but the goal is to help all of us and every person in every organization or in their personal life really understand how maximizing our fullest self and our relationship with anybody is enhanced by the extent to which we connect with real light and love and intimacy. And those words scare people. So I loved it when in leadership training they said one of the rules here, and they did a triangle and said, at the top of this triangle is the word intimacy. We are trying to maximize the intimacy between each of our between each of us in relationship. However, on the lower left corner, there's the word power, and we must have this intimacy with no power over or under the other. And in the lower right corner is the word sex, and we want to have intimacy with no sexualized energy with the other. And for some people, of course, sadly, that's difficult. But for those of us for whom that's not difficult, we know what I mean when I say the degree of intimacy and non-power and non-sexual love that grows is so wonderful that it highly enhances the potential of each of us and whatever we're co-creating together in the workplace or wherever. So coaching and executive coaching and training on that, whether it be in the organization or in personal lives, is what I feel called to do and speak much more clearly about light and love and energy and spirit and intimacy than I was able to before. So those are my words, and that's my dream, and that's Lewis on my own growing and soon glowing edge.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Well done.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis. Lewis, are you involved in the Conscious Capitalism group at all in San Francisco?
No, but sounds like I should be.
Yes, you should be. Check out Conscious Capitalism. I believe there's a local group. They had a wonderful conference there last year, and it's filled with business leaders who use the language you've just used.
Wow.
And they, I can't remember, I think there were 2,000 people at the conference last year. And you know,
wow,
from some of the Spirit at Work conferences and things we've done, you know, we'd be lucky to get 150 people. And they had to limit it because of the space they had. People could not
get
in. So it's and it wasn't cheap. So they're doing, you know, they've tapped into something in terms of words that are emerging. And they talk about consciousness, conscious capitalism. There's your group of brothers and sisters there.
Great idea. I just looked it up, and here it is. Building fully human organizations. You're right.
And I've been going to a number, you know, talk about trends. I've gone to a number of their conferences, and they've grown, and they do academic conferences, and they do CEO conferences, and they do conferences for the public, and they're really expanding. And in the past, in the early days, I was invited to speak about spirituality, and I did, and it fell flat, as you were working with the HR people, and I was so disappointed because I thought when they talked about conscious, they were talking about consciousness. And at that point, that was not their language, really. And it is now. They have evolved, and it very much is their language. And you can look on their website. There's keynotes from last year. And I especially would recommend that people look at Raj Sisodia's keynote. He's one of the founders of the Conscious Capitalism Institute, and the other is John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods. But especially look at Raj Sasodia, who just has such a way with expressing the language in business and spiritual terms. And he didn't used to talk that way. He's just a wonderful person to learn from and be inspired by. But again, Lewis, I think that's your gang.
Thank you. You got it. I just looked it up, and I will be there. Their conference is in April in San Diego. And
oh, great.
Yep.
Yeah, they do a great job, and you make wonderful connections. But one other thing I want to say, just kind of respond to what you said, and that I see, I'm sensing as a trend, and I have no data, but I'm thinking coaching, you know, there's been coaching around for a long time. The field has grown. But I think there's something new emerging, and I got a hint of it with one of my clients who talked about, I've been doing coaching with her for a year, and she tells friends what I'm doing with her. She's a business owner here in Fayetteville, and she loves what's going on. And she talks to her friends not about Judy as her coach, but that she's taking a one-on-one workshop with Judy.
Right.
And we do have material that we cover topics each time, and there's homework and all that. So I listened to her, and you talked, Lewis, something about personal, I don't know what your words were, personal training or something like that, but it was similar enough to this one-on-one workshop idea that I think there may be something new emerging around coaching language that you know, just throw that out to see what you think about how you might work.
No, there really is. And it's the essence of the new part is sort of falls under a word that all the good coaching schools use called coactive. At least the one here does, Coaches Training International, and their website is coactive.com. And by coactive, they really mean, and the more I experience it, the more I really get it. It is whether you're the so-called coach and I'm the client, or whether I'm the coach and you're the client, when we are really coming from an authentic facilitation, even though at this moment one of us is the coach, it is so mutual. The sensitivity, the energy, the light, the spirit that's happening, that it's as if, and now I'll go to the other extreme that most people can't hear, but everyone here will, it's like whenever we meet, either of us, we know what it feels like when energy and light channels through us from above. It's not our ego and our personality. It's just channels through us to the other and enhances the other. And then it channels through you and enhances me. And it's as if we take turns being angels with each other and open to whichever way is happening, instead of ego going, oh, I'm the angel now and teaching you. It's like the gift is mutual in whichever form it's flowing at the moment. And that's what wonderful coaching is becoming. And in fact, we all need a coach, you know?
Yeah.
And something like that. Anyway, it's including light and spirit, the ways you and I have talked for years, and they haven't been open to it. But since we were on our own growing and glowing edge, it was too far on the edge for most people, and it's wonderful that it's opening now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well put.
And you know, the best news we've all learned is that it's not being led by any corporate leader, political leader, religious leader, national leader, no leader. In fact, all those leaders are hanging on to the old forms of power, which are dying. And in the worst case, they're fighting. Whereas we can all feel it's actually coming from within us and between us and all around us, and we're all part of it, and there's no going back. It is so fantastic.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's spirit-led.
It is absolutely spirit-led.
Lewis, this is Eric in Toronto. I appreciate what you were saying about the coactive process, because that's been my experience of coaching and mentoring, gentle counsel over the years of it switches from one being the temporary teacher to the other being the temporary teacher. And so learning from the client or from the person I'm working with, it's fascinating to see how we are both there as students and teachers, as co-active coaches for each other.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And how enriching and how authentic and how enriching and how expansive it enables us to be. Yeah, and the vulnerability becomes a strength, not a weakness, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll just maybe follow up on yours, since I'm also getting called to step more into coaching and mentoring and what I'll call personal consulting. I'm the director of something called the Center for Spirituality at Work in Toronto, and have held this position for the last year, and have, since coming into the position, had been wanting to provide services to people in the network, of whom there are, say, 900 to 1,000 people in our email list. And over the year, kept realizing that I was trying to do for others that which wasn't really calling me inside, and have been getting support and help and listening. And the thing that I love most, I think, is the one-on-one work, the coaching and the mentoring and the practical application. I like the idea of the personal training one-on-one workshop that you've raised as well, Judy, because there's something in that intimacy and helping somebody really go deep and going there myself that really feels inspiring. But I was holding back on it because it felt like I wasn't sure if I was serving the network to do it, and I realized that I have to serve the network by doing that which speaks to me most. And so I'm just in the final stages of writing up the offering to others of these are the services that call me most and keeping in line with my spirit. So that's one of the growth edges, the glowth edges, what's emerging for me in the coming year. The other is towards collaboration and a different way of working in this organization, which was set up about 13 years ago and had been primarily about activities being run through the center. So one person organizing workshops or something else, and I call it sort of the bottleneck model of everything coming in through me or out through me, and very much feeling like it needs to be shifted to a web-based model or a web-type model where everyone can start to connect with everyone, and that people can offer things to each other in a web-like fashion, and starting to put more things into our website, into our offerings, where people can just share things like the quote from John O'Donohue or the poem that you offered earlier or whatever, so that it doesn't all run through the one person or the few people at the center, but that really becomes a co-creative approach so that everybody can begin to express those talents, interests, poems, sayings, callings, ideas, so that there can be more cross-fertilization that way.
Great. Well, let me pass to you, as Judy passed me. There's a woman in Toronto, you just need to look up afterward, named Darlene, D-A-R-L-E-N-E, Huff, H-U-F-F, with whom I did a year of leadership training, and I came to Toronto and did a day-long workshop on leadership. But her energy and her spirit is very similar to the way you've been speaking, and you just might love meeting each other, and who knows where it'll go.
And just so that I'll know how to mention, Lewis, what's your last name?
That's Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Griggs, G-R-I-G-G-S.
Great. Well, thank you for the suggestion.
Right. It's wonderful. And, of course, with love and with no judgment, I and all of us I know say, we hope your work is reaching your wonderful Mayor Ford. So, and I mean that with love and empathy, and we all hope he he grows too.
You know, I think there is, I'll certainly take that, and I offer it to anybody who thinks of him is there to help do the work of raising his beingness as well as our mirror. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Eric. And many, many blessings on your work. It's just so exciting to see that the center has lived for so long in an environment that doesn't necessarily seem to support this conversation, as Lewis has talked about, and grown. And I would encourage everyone on this call to go to their website and to sign up for the newsletter. You'd just be so inspired by the different events and speakers and topics that are being covered. It's just such rich work. And I totally understand the calling to be able to work more one-on-one with people rather than just be an event planner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I may take what you said as well as a lead in, Judy, what we've just recently created is an online forum, community space, bulletin board. It's a little bit of all of these. That is at forum.spiritualityatwork.org. And it's there for not just people in Toronto, but people anywhere across the globe that want to share things, share events that you're doing locally, share trainings that you're doing, share inspiration to begin actively through a process of creating that web that says it doesn't matter where you are, if you're offering this consciousness, this kind of heart, this kind of service into the world, why not help people to connect? So it all you have to do is register and you can begin to post. And if you can't get it through the address I get, just go to our website and click on forum. So it really is an invitation to say, whatever you're putting out, whatever you want to explore, whatever you want to share, feel free to do it that way, and it helps to begin to grow the web in ways that don't know where it'll lead, but it just feels like we need to be able to connect with each other, places like this call, places like that on the web, and so feel free to use it.
Right.
That's great. Thank you. And Eric, if you'll send me a short paragraph with the link, I'll put it in the next newsletter, because the Edgewalker newsletter goes out to about 3,000 people, and it would be wonderful to have some of those folks get involved. This would be right up their alley.
Great. Great. And I also want to get your new book up there too, Judy. Congratulations on getting it out.
Thank you.
Right.
I haven't even thought about that book. It's terrible. But I wrote that book. I started writing that book. It's called Creating Enlightened Organizations. I started writing it about 12 years ago for a class I was teaching at the university on spirituality in the workplace. And this was actually the online text every week or so that, you know, people would read about different topics in the field. And I worked it, never found a publisher, and finally was just going to self-publish it. And, I got really close, like four times. Even Steve Persanti at Barrett Kohler, he said, I love this book. And he went through his very co-creative process that he does with his team, and the marketing department said, oh, this stuff doesn't sell anymore. And it was so frustrating to have that happen over and over again. So I was just going to self-publish it. And I was at a conference a year ago and met with the people who worked with me on Edgewalkers. I meet with them every year, my publisher. And he's gone on to another company, and she'd gone on to another company. And when I went over to visit Charlotte, who had been the kind of co-editor on the project, she said, so what are you doing now? And I told her about I was going to self-publish this Creating Enlightened Organizations. And she said, well, send me some information on it. And I sent it, and like 2 days later she said, here's your contract.
Great.
Oh, I was like, okay. And, you know, the book was almost done, so it was easy to just finish it up and get it out. And I feel like, you know, a mother who's had four children, because this is my fourth book, and you sort of ignore the fourth one.
Poor baby. Poor baby. I haven't done anything other than put something in the newsletter about it, but I hope it's something that's useful. It's a practical guide on how to implement spirituality in the workplace. Kind of almost not exactly a workbook, but something that people can use to work through how they want to go about it.
Mm.
So, Eric, thanks for wanting to put that on the website. I appreciate it. I don't even think it's on my website.
We'll talk.
Oh, I've got work to do, I guess.
Just more glowing.
Yeah, more glowing. I got to put that put that in the light.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from some others about what's on your glowing edge.
This is Connie.
Yes, hi, Connie.
My theme for this year is joy. And I'm allowing myself to experience how that theme wants to reveal itself to me this year. And one of the things that I've noticed in January is that I have become more spontaneous. Just planning to do A, and at the last second deciding to do B, and B bringing me a delightful experience.
Yeah.
For an example, I thought that I was going home, and I started walking in another direction and discovered a restaurant that I wasn't familiar with, and walked in, and at that time, I thought I was speaking to the manager, and I discovered that I was speaking to the co-founder of Life Restaurant, and I just resonate with their philosophy about eating. You know, they serve grass-fed beef and free-range chickens and organic eggs and just enjoy it. And they started in California. So some of you might be familiar with them, L-Y-F-E.
So I'm at the restaurant again?
Life, L-Y-F-E.
Uh-huh. I haven't heard of them.
And the co-founder was the COO of McDonald's.
Wow.
And yesterday, I happened to turn on the TV, which I rarely do, and they were being interviewed on television.
Ooh, a synchronicity there.
Yeah, and talking about some of their produce is prepared in a vertical warehouse where the water is recycled. And it was just joy for me to have that experience. So I'm experiencing joy in a different way, and I'm allowing it to reveal itself to me as it comes.
Wow, that's a wonderful example of living on the edge. And I almost hear, like, laughing on the edge.
Yeah.
The joy bubbles up. Wow. That's exciting. Thank you, Connie. Anything else you want to add, Connie?
No, that's it for now.
All right. Thank you. We have about 10 more minutes if anyone else would like to share what's on your glowing edge, what's emerging for you, or what you can sense but not yet see, perhaps.
No, but Connie, I, Lewis, want to mirror what, for me, what you just said is an example of allowing the being to lead, to come first. Mm-hmm. Spirit and the light to be felt within, and the being to come first before we choose to act, and that enhances, that enables the doing to really be a reflection of the being, and maybe just a projection because I'm the one who constantly is trying to make sure that I'm growing that way. But I sure felt it within you, and your being more first, and the doing just happens to become wonderful.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Well, and it's, I also hear a trusting of in the moment, an urge or a sense or a calling that might be very subtle and mysterious, but you're listening to that and responding, and that's one part of what it is to be in that beingness that Lewis is describing. Just a beautiful example.
And another way that I experience it is joy in a relationship in the moment, no matter what.
So the no matter what is like no expectations.
Right. For an example, 3 months ago, I scheduled a lunch date with a person. 5 days before, she calls and cancels. And I had other opportunities to arise that I declined because we had this appointment. And when she canceled, I said, now what joy will I experience from this cancellation? What's up for me? What's present for me? What else is going to happen?
Right.
In the past, I may not have responded that way after holding this date on my calendar for so long.
Wow. That's a like a loving jujitsu. You know, taking the energy that could turn into judgment or evaluation or irritation or frustration and turning it into the mystery, the question of, well, what is joyful about this or what else might emerge?
Yes.
Just letting go of that negative energy. Ooh, that's a wonderful example. I'm going to try to remember that the next time I get frustrated with somebody. Thank you. Wow.
Or with
it's got
yourself.
A lot of light in it.
Right.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Or with oneself is always when we get frustrated with others or within ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Who else would like to go? Steve, do you want to join the conversation, or are you just content to sit there and grin?
Well, yeah, I'm so much caught up in everything that everybody's saying, and having all this stuff pop at once, I can't get my words out. I'm being distracted by all of the thoughts and ideas that I'm having that comes from everything that's shared, but I can say that to the group, I started speaking with Judy after having not talked with her for some time late last year, and out of that conversation, a lot of things have flowed. By the way, I did get a chance to see and review and look at the book, and it's just fantastic for all those who have not had that same chance. So I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the first opportunity that you have. And out of that came something that I've been working on recently and really have a passion about, and that is the acronym VUCA, V-U-C-A. And VUCA talks about a way to think about, talk about, and consider the speed and the discontinuous nature of change. And some of you, all of you perhaps on this call are already familiar with VUCA, but it's taken on a real meaning for me, and I see so many different ways that it can be applied. And with respect to edgewalkers, when Judy and I talked about edgewalkers last year, and I took a look at the profile of edgewalkers, and what I see in VUCA is the profile for somebody who is leading in a VUCA world. The qualities, the characteristics, the skills, and the abilities of the leader that is employing what is referred to as VUCA Prime, and that is those qualities that allow them to thrive in a VUCA world, are reflected in the Edgewalker profile. they're reflected in the profile of those that have gone through the process of development and emotional intelligence. And some of these softer skill programs, MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, many of the qualities coming out of those trainings are reflected in the Edgewalker and subsequently in the VUCA. So I'm seeing that from an intuitive standpoint, that VUCA has a lot of possibilities in terms of facilitating people's understanding, it being a container, being a context for a way to look at change and to move from the VUCA definitions of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity to the training corollary of VUCA, which is VUCA Prime, and that is vision, understanding, clarity, and agility. So that's what my focus is right now and is going to be for some time to come, I feel.
Yeah. That's so on the cutting edge. It's funny because people, that's another synchronicity for me, Steve, that you bring this up again, because you're the person who introduced me to the concept, and someone just brought it up yesterday at one of our Edgewalker meetings, and it's really... it's really speaking to people's experience in the world because it isn't linear anymore, and it's full of mystery and surprises, like the book The Black Swan that talks about the financial industry and how you can't predict the growth of any stock or anything else in a linear way. And so I love listening to you because you integrate all these different ideas and make each of them richer as you look at the connections and how they serve each other and how they just an inclusiveness and a bringing together in very creative ways this all the different kinds of work. So it's going to be exciting to see how that manifests and unfolds for you and what you do with it. You've got training program ideas.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
Part of that is you have some ideas for training programs.
Yes, right, exactly, yeah. And that's what I'm working on developing now. I've seen VUCA being maybe applied as a way for vendors or practitioners who are marketing what are referred to in training and development as soft skill programs. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that a lot of those individuals selling those kind of programs have is validating and giving credibility to their training. And a lot of the C-suite members today, because money is tight and hard to find, are asking for return on investment analysis to confirm that if they buy this program, there will be an ROI for them. And it's hard to do with a soft skill, and in some cases impossible to do with a soft skill program. But I think that the notion of VUCA creates a container in which a person with a soft skill program can talk about the benefits without producing the ROI, and in this process, it might help them facilitate the sale of their soft skill training to the. So that would be a practical use of VUCA and an authentic and real way to use VUCA. Another way would be to present it as part of a foundation for training for soft skills, because the VUCA profile for somebody my age coming out of my generation of way back when is many of the skills and abilities are actually counterintuitive. And so a lot of organizations are led by people in their, their 50s or 60s, and I don't know how many of us are still leading in our 70s, but a lot of those aspects that we grew up with are now aspects that get in the way, because somebody who's highly VUCA-tized, or VUCA Prime VUCA-tized, if you will, they are in the moment. And the conversation that I've been listening to for the last 4 to 5 minutes has talked about, being present and in the moment. And That's what's being required. Not a good thing to have, but required to have. If you're going to lead an organization, you've got to be present. You've got to have the vision, and then you've got to realize that your vision is going to be challenged every day with unexpected events. And learning how to deal with that in the moment is what Luca Prime is trying to teach you.
Mm.
So I see it plugging in a lot of way in a lot of different ways.
Mm. Yeah, that's so exciting, and it'll be wonderful to see what it is that you do with that. And it sounds like from all the connections you're making, you didn't say this, but I hear an opening for collaboration with others who are excited about what you're doing.
Well, that's exactly what I'm looking for now. As a matter of fact, what I'm looking for is somebody in an organization who I could partner with in developing these trainings and as a prototype, and somebody whose organization is sensitive to this and wants to learn more about it, because I have several ideas for trainings that might be effective, but they need to be expanded and used and troubleshot and so forth and so on. And so I'm looking for a partner that I can do that kind of collaboration with. So that's where I'm at right at the moment on it.
Well, I would encourage you also to go to the Conscious Capitalism Conference. And you'll get to meet Lewis in person if the two of you haven't already met.
No, I haven't. I was hoping to get some information, and I won't take up this teleconference time right now, but I'd like to get the contact information for both you, Lewis, and Eric at some point so I can follow up with them directly.
My email is Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, at my last name, Griggs, GRIGGS.com. And my website
GRIGGS?
GRIGGS. And my website is, therefore, Griggs.com.
Okay, got it.
Where my TED Talk and other interviews are there.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mine, if you need it, is Eric, E-R-I-C, at spiritualityatwork.org.
E-R-I-C. Great.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Cool. What a great hour. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm just sitting here feeling like Connie's joy. It's when people make these kinds of connections, and who knows what might come out of this, the mystery of it, like turning a different direction instead of going the way you were headed. When people start to make connections, the energy just multiplies, and it's a bigger container for spirit to move into. And so I'm in joy.
Well, you've even created a new language. We've moved beyond growing edge to glowing edge, and I'm never going back.
I'm delighted. And delight means to be full of light. So
absolutely.
I must be glowing.
May delight be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Delight. I see delight. Okay, guys. This has been a wonderful call, and thank you so much. Our next call was originally going to be on February 20th. I've moved it around to February 27th.
Judy, your email said the opposite. So which is true?
I think the email is confusing because wait a minute. Yes, you're right. It is on the 20th now, not the 20th. Because I get the cafe and they sing. It is now on the 20th. It was originally on the 27th.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. February 20th. And the Sharon Massoff, who was with us a couple of months ago in November, is an intuitive. And she and her husband also do some corporate training. And she has just offered in this call to bring your questions, and she will do intuitive readings on the call. And boy, she just brings so much love and energy and beautiful vibration
So even if you didn't have a question, come be bathed in the special energy that Sharon has. But she's definitely got a gift, and if there are things that you'd like to have her intuitive reading about, you're so welcome to bring your questions. I expect that call might run over. I know ours did a little bit today, and our last one with her did as well. So just to give you a heads up that that's going to be a great call, and I hope you can join us next month. Thank you so much for being here today. And Lewis, would you send me the John O'Donohue poem, and I will put that together with some other things from this call and post it to the Edgewalker website.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, okay. Everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Bye. Bye.